time for the Outspoken Cyclist, your weekly conversation about bicycles, cycling, and related topics. The Outspoken Cyclist is produced for broadcast and podcast, with a new show available every Saturday at 6 p.m. In Northeast Ohio, you can hear it on WJCU 88.7 FM. Catch our podcast after the close of the on-air show at OutspokenCyclist.com, iTunes, Stitcher, or PRX, the Public Radio Exchange. Now here's your host, Diane Jenks.
Hello and welcome to The Outspoken Cyclist. I'm your host, Diane Jenks. This is our show for October 19th, 2019. As you may remember, Brian and I were off to Peter Weigel's French Fender Day last week, and today I'll bring you the first of what will be two shows with short, interesting conversations with people who stopped by the microphone during the event. As you listen, you'll also hear some chattering of all the folks in the background. I decided not to strip that sound out of the recordings and, in fact, did almost no editing at all. In these short exchanges that range from between 4 and 8 minutes, you'll not only hear people you've listened to in the past, like builders Johnny Coast and Jamie Swan, you'll also hear from people who have an abiding interest in the craft of the classic French fender bike, yet who don't build bikes professionally. People such as Emily O'Brien from Dill Pickle Cycling Gear, who is a professional musician and runs randonneuring events on the East Coast. Or Bob Young, who brought an exquisite 1/6 scale boat he built by hand. One of the things I found both interesting and very gratifying was the age range of those who attended the event. There is not only a whole new group of younger builders, there is also a new generation of younger riders who seem to truly appreciate the beauty and craftsmanship of these exquisite machines. We'll take short breaks intermittently during the show, but there are no formal pre-intros. Each person who came up to the mic will identify him or herself at the beginning of commentary. Then, if you go to our blog, OutspokenCyclist.com, the guests will be listed in the order in which they appear on the show. At the end of the interviews, Peter Weigel himself will wrap up the weekend with his thoughts about how it went and with a note about how it all started back in 2010. I hope you enjoyed the show.
Hi.
Hello.
What's your name?
I'm Amy Gothard.
Hi, Amy. Where are you from?
I'm from Norwich, Connecticut.
Not too far?
Not too far, like 25 miles from here.
Yeah. What do you have around your neck?
I have full spectrum cargo straps.
Do you make them?
I do.
Those would be clamps squeaking in the microphone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Try to make them jingle.
Yeah.
They weren't doing a good job.
That's good.
Yeah.
And so are they all AP, all-purpose?
They are. They're all-purpose. You can strap stuff to your bike. You can strap stuff to yourself. You can use them as a belt or a head hair tie or whatever, you know.
Nice.
Yeah. Anything you want to use them for.
Are you selling a few?
I am. I'm selling them.
That's a good thing. That's a good thing. Great hair, by the way.
Yes. Oh, thank you.
So Amy has this magnificent sort of fuchsia hair.
Yes.
Is that a good color? Fuchsia, is that it?
Yeah. Fuchsia, hot pink, magenta. Yeah. It's kind of a little bit of everything.
Yeah. So what do you do besides make tie-down straps?
I work in a costume shop for Goodspeed Opera House.
Wow.
Yeah. Yep.
What do you do there?
I sew costumes, and I do alterations on costumes.
So you are a seamstress.
I am a seamstress by trade, yes.
And so what brings you to French Fender Day besides tie-down straps?
Well, Several years ago, I met Peter on a bike ride with some other friends of mine from the area. And
the rest is history.
And he told me about this, and I've been coming ever since.
So,
yeah.
Did you bring a bike today?
I did bring a bike today.
Did you ride today?
I did. I rode. Yeah.
The shorter long route?
I did the shorter one.
Yeah.
Because I had ridden down from Norwich, so I was I'm going to run to this.
Yeah. So what bike did you bring?
My bike that I brought today is not very French looking at all. It's a Gunner, which is made
by Waterford Gunner.
Yep, Waterford.
Yep, we built Gunners.
Yep. Nice. It's a custom frame because I'm very short.
You are short.
Yep.
That's true.
So it's a, and it's kind of like a, it was a, we kind of took ideas from the Surly Long Haul Trucker and Gunner's Crosshairs.
Right.
The cyclocross bike and kind of put it together to make a.
So 650 wheels?
No, it's a 26 inch. Yep.
Okay.
26-inch flat bars.
Nice.
Yeah, but
nice.
You know, fenders and a rack. And
what color is it? Gunner
it's
gray.
It's a dark purple.
Ooh.
Really dark purple.
That sounds
It almost looks black until the light hits it.
Yeah.
And then, yeah.
Yeah, they do nice paint.
They do.
Paint.
It's gorgeous. Yeah.
So when you look around, do you see anything special that really attracted your attention? Other
oh my
than
gosh.
Your beautiful Gunner?
There's so many just awesome, cool bikes here, you know?
Yeah.
Just, yeah. And
how about people? Did you meet somebody new that you've never met before?
People that I hadn't ever met in person, that I have known online for a long time. And that's one thing I love about coming. Every year I end up meeting somebody that I've met through, like, Instagram or something. And
nice.
End up, you know, finally getting to meet them in real life. And I'm like, yeah.
So, do you ride regularly? Do you own a car? I should ask that.
I do. I have a car. Yeah.
Okay.
I do ride. Last 13 years, I've been was a full-time bike commuter. I actually used to live not too far from here, over in East Haddam.
Okay.
And my commute to work was like 7 miles.
Not bad.
So, you know, no sense in driving, just bike. So I did that for a long time, and then we bought a house in Norwich because we had a dream of buying a big old Victorian, and that's where they were. So we found one. And
how far is that from work?
It's like 25 miles.
Yeah, so
yeah.
it's not an easy two-way
commute.
Yeah,
so now I bike commute one day a week.
Yeah.
Just pick the nice day and make a day of it.
Right.
Yeah.
So you got a big old Victorian house.
We did. Big old Victorian.
What year?
We're still trying to figure that out. There's some questions. Originally, where our house sits was the carriage house for the house behind us.
Okay.
So that was built in 1860. Sometime between 1860 and 1890, our house was actually built. So they took down the carriage house and put up our house.
How cool is that?
So we're still trying to figure out exactly when that happened. We're going to have to get down to the, you know, check the public records or something.
Right,
yeah,
right.
Figure that out.
Nice.
But, yeah.
Well, I hope you have more fun.
I will.
Thank you so much for talking with me.
Thank you.
All
great
right.
to meet you.
You too.
Thanks.
Bye. Hi, Bill. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you.
How you been?
Great day.
Yeah, you took a ride this morning. You led the long ride here at French Fender Day.
I did, and it was a great group of folks with a tandem that just would not stop.
And it like wiped you out.
It did. I got my legs really worked out nicely.
Yeah. So when we were talking last night before French Fender Day today, you were telling me about something you did this past summer, which is really different. So for those who might remember, Bill and I have spoken before. He did the book of all of the beautiful bicycle jerseys.
The Jersey Project,
yes. And for those of you who have that book, covet it because there are no more. But this past summer, you actually repeated something you did how many years ago?
46.
All right, tell us about it.
Well, I wanted to go back to Ireland and ride my bike, and I said, you got to bring your teammates, and you got to hook up with a bunch of those Irish guys because you can find them all on Facebook. So I said, let's do a reunion, and I brought like 7 teammates from my days in the 70s, John Howard, Bobby Phillips, John Bear, and some kids that rode the race later than we did, and some Canadians that rode it in 75, and we went back to Ireland, and we rode our bikes for a week with a bunch of Irish guys and just told lies and drank beer every night. It was fantastic.
And so did you ride some of the same routes you rode during that tour?
I insisted with my tour group, who worked with me for 18 months, that we had to ride the Gap of Mamore, which is in the northernmost part of Ireland. And it was about a seven-hour transfer in a bus to get us close enough. And Leonard Zinn, for instance, had never ridden over it, and he didn't know why we were going so far north to ride over this mountain. And when we got there, he was blown away. Of course, Leonard's on an electric bike now.
Right.
So he was speeding by me going, Bill, this is fantastic.
Of course.
Thank you. Thank you so much for bringing us here. And meanwhile, I can't breathe.
Right.
But he was taking great photographs.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good. It's good to know that he's out there riding with you guys.
Oh, yeah.
So if you look back over all those years between when you rode it as a young racer and now, how do you think racing itself has changed?
Oh, my God. There's not enough time in the day. Are you kidding me?
Well, give me a synopsis.
Well, I mean, I really can't. And I guess our group, being one of the first ones to ride as a team in Europe, to sit back and see the progress we've made, to see those juniors from my 78 team and the Olympics in 84, and then to Greg winning in 86 and to 7-Eleven being there, that was more than old-timers like us could have dreamed of having in our lifetime.
And today's racers, how do you think they compare with the kind of, not just equipment, because that's changed some, but the actual racing itself?
Well, all those of us from that era in the 70s and early 80s, you know, we can still find our hard men in the peloton. The sport hasn't changed that much. It's still brutally hard. And, you know, this year, Yorkshire, the World's Championships was a classic, brilliant, hard, hard race under unbelievable conditions. The thing that astounds me as a promoter of the sport and in being involved in sports management of the sport is that Americans still don't have, the general public still has no idea what the Tour de Flanders, Paris-Roubaix, or any of those big races are. And including my wonderful Italian friends that are second generation. They're all like Goombas, right? But they don't even know what soccer is, and they've never been to Italy, and they have no idea what Milan-San Remo is or what the Giro d'Italia is. That is what always amazes me.
That is interesting. It never occurred to me that today's generation doesn't feel like it has that history behind it. It feels like maybe they think they're starting over.
Yeah, well, you know, the kids racing, they've come up through a system that's brought them to the top. And we have great Americans still doing well in international racing and being on international teams. But whether or not they know the history and who came before them, I have no idea.
Wow. So let's cut to French Fender Days here real quick. Do you see anything here you can't live without?
I can't afford to, I can afford to live without of it, all of it. That's, you know, one of the things about me is I dedicated way too much time to the sport and lived my passion way too well. And so, therefore, I can't hardly afford the very sport I love right now.
Yeah, it's not a cheap sport. Well, I'm really glad you got to be here and I got to see you again. Last time I saw you was at some trade show somewhere. I don't remember.
Right, right.
But keep riding. I love it.
Yep, I love it too. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Hi.
Hi.
What's your name?
Bob Young.
Hey, Bob Young. Actually, we've met already.
We have.
We met last night.
We did.
You brought a really cool thing to French Fender Day. Tell me what it is.
So I brought a 1/6 scale, radio-controlled, unlimited hydroplane model.
And you built it?
I did.
From the ground up?
I did.
It's a very cool-looking thing.
Thank you very much.
It's very cool. Does it go fast?
I've never run it.
No kidding.
No. Here's the story with that. I wanted to build a boat that I could race in the International Model Power Boat Association's Classic Thunderboat class. And I wanted to model the Miss Bardolph from 1965. That's a 1/6 scale model. So I started my research and then I started to work on it. The problem was that my OCD kicked in. And the longer I worked on it, the more it became, this boat is never going to see the water. And when I got done, I wound up with a museum piece. So the problem was that, okay, you've got a very nice looking museum piece. Unis still need a boat.
Did you build a boat?
So I built another boat that looks like it that I actually race.
Interesting. So this is a museum piece. It is stunning. What are you going to do with it? You're going to keep it?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I will tell you that the Powerboat and Hydroplane Museum in Seattle has expressed an interest in that boat should I ever want to let it go. And, yeah, so...
Interesting, interesting. So what brings you to French Fender Day, not boats?
So I love bicycles.
Oh, okay.
I only have one that I would consider a highline bike, and that's a 1971 Paramount P13. And I'm the original owner of that bike, and I raced on that bike back in period. It's original, never been restored, looks like the day that it came off the showroom floor.
Because have you met you yet?
Yeah, right.
The OCD.
It kind of looks like my boat.
Exactly.
And so I met Peter at a bicycling event in North Carolina. I can't remember the name of it, but it was not Le Cirque. and it was not Classic Rendezvous. It was another thing that they only did for 2 years as part of a professional bicycle race, and in 2013 or 12, I can't remember the year, Peter was one of the featured five builders that actually had their bikes in a museum display. And so I was wearing my Ducati motorcycle hat. Peter saw that, came over, and we started a conversation. I've always wanted to come here to see Peter's shop. Finally, 2 months ago, I called him up. I said, this French Fender Day, is it like by invitation? How does that work? And, oh, no. And then we started talking about the boat, and he says, oh, you must bring the boat. I said, but it's not French, and it doesn't have fenders. Oh, it'll be perfect.
And in fact, that's true. So
it
not everything
true.
Here is French. Not everything here has fenders. Most things do. As I look around, there's a lot of shiny silver fenders. But the truth is that it's about the classic look more than anything else.
Right.
And the classic thinking. So let me ask you a question about your Paramount. Is it campy equipped?
Full.
Yeah. Record?
Yes. The reason I paused is because, you know, that if you saw that bike today, what I tell people is that they'll look at it and go, well, that's wrong. Like the chain rings or Shigino. And what I say to folks is, I understand what you're saying. The problem is, understand that this is my bicycle. And what you see is exactly the way it was when I raced it from 1971 through 1975.
And where did that bike come from?
So I grew up in Las Vegas, Nevada.
Oh.
And that's a Las Vegas bike.
So you didn't win it on the roulette table?
No, I did not. No.
You actually paid real money for it, right?
No.
How interesting. Did you race for a team?
Yes, I did.
What team?
For the Las Vegas Schwinn Cyclery team.
How cool is that?
And my specialty was the captain on tandems.
Wow, there you go. See how interesting French Fender Day is? So if you were to look around the space where all these bikes are, anything in particular really, and you're shaking your head, what?
Yes.
What?
So, I don't remember Dennis's last name, but Dennis's Mozzie Grand Criterium. That is a 1972 replica that was done at Alberto Mozzie's shop in Modena? In wherever his shop is that's underneath the velodrome in Italy.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Yes.
And the reason that bike really appeals to me so much is because when I was a boy, I subscribed to Bicycling Magazine, and I think it was 1970. I still have the issue.
Of course you do.
With my address tag on it. And there was an article in there. At that time, all I knew about high-quality bicycles, this would be when I was 16 years old, would be Paramounts. I didn't know Clonago or Mozzie
right.
or any of that. Well, Bicycling ran a featured article about this bike called a Mozzie, and I'm looking at that article going, oh, those are nice.
You never bought a Mozzie.
Never did. Mm. And so that bike takes me back.
Sure. Wow, such an interesting story. Well, will you come back to French Fender Day again?
I think I will, and if I can squeeze, somehow sneak my Paramount in, I might bring it.
I don't see why you couldn't. You don't have to put fenders on it. Thanks for talking with me.
Yeah, thanks so much, Diane.
All right.
Good to see you.
Hi. Welcome to French Fender Days.
Oh, thank you. I've been meaning to come. This is the first time after knowing about it for 3 years.
Is it your first time?
Yes.
That was going to be my next question.
It is.
Okay, how'd you find out about it?
Well, you know, I met Peter at the Thompson Motor Speedway in Thompson, Connecticut, when they were doing a Frame Builders Day. And I met him there, and we had a conversation about this, that, and the other thing, and he gave me this postcard-looking thing that said French Fender Day. And I'm like, what the hell is French Fender Day? You know, and I found out from him that it was a yearly gathering. But, of course, I didn't make it down until this year because, lo and behold, I was at the bicycle shop in East Lyme or Old Lyme, and the owner, whose name I think is Steve, mentioned Peter Wagel was in the shop 3 days ago. I said, you know Peter Wagel? He says, yeah. I said, where does he live? He says, he just lives around the corner. So I got in my car and I drove over here, knocked on the door, and we had a nice chat. I was here for 45 minutes, and he said, you got to come to the next French Fender Day. I said, well, when is it? And he gave me the card. And here I am.
Here you are.
And I even brought one of my bikes.
Did you? What kind of bike did you bring?
I brought my either 1969 or 1970 Condor, built by the one and only Bill Herlow. And I discovered what a special bike it was after I had bought it. So I bought a special, I don't know, Holy Grail bike without having known it.
I think that's a cool way to buy one, right?
Absolutely.
What color is it? I don't
see. It's orange with a little bit of blue.
I like orange.
It's original paint. It's a little beat up. It's a little chipped up. The chrome is a little peeled and pitted, but you know what? I don't have to worry about it.
That's correct. That's the beauty of steel.
Yeah.
So tell my listeners what you do.
I'm a floor guy.
Could you be a little more specific?
I'll try. We do wooden floors. That means we fix them, we sand them, we finish them, we scrape them, we massage them, and if we have to, we build them from scratch.
So a question I would have about wood floors is, are most wood floors refinishable?
Yes. If they're pre-finished, the answer is probably no.
No, but I mean original, like from a 1923
house. Oh, yes. Yeah.
Even if it looks dirty and funky.
Yeah,
and
even if it looks dirty. There's a difference between dirty and stained. Stains come from two things, water and animal urine.
Yes.
Or food.
No, animals in the one room.
Animal urine stains will not come out. You can blend them in and make them look better. You can bleach them. Some people use wood bleach, but I think plain old bleach like Clorox is probably better because it doesn't break the wood down as much, and I think you get more blending that way. Bleach is not good for wood.
You know what, though? This is a bicycle show, but that was one of the most interesting things I've heard in a while. So, if you were to look around and tell us your impression, not being one of these French Fender aficionados, I mean, from the bottom up,
right.
What would you say was the most interesting thing about today?
Well, aside of the fact that Peter is an amazing guy and puts this on every year.
Yes, he is amazing.
The most incredible thing about today was the 1966 427 Corvette. That just knocked my socks off.
It is beautiful. It is beautiful. I did have to take a picture of it, I have to admit.
I am a bit of a bike nut. I have five bikes, and I've got two that could be built up, so I've got, you know.
Now you have incentive.
Yeah. Right, yes, yeah, sort of.
But you didn't ride today.
No, because, well, I really haven't ridden in over a year. Don't tell anybody. And I'm mildly embarrassed about that. So, no, the short answer is I did not ride today.
So, to make you feel better about that, the way riding goes, it's cyclical. Bicycle.
Yeah, I know.
People's lives change and move. You will always come back to it. I
will. At least I have one set up on a trainer in my living room, and I do hop on it from time to time.
Well, there you go.
That's not real riding.
Oh, you sound like my husband. Well, thanks for talking with me.
You're so welcome.
All right. Enjoy French Fender Day.
I will. Okay. Thank you.
Let's take a short break and we'll come right back to hear more from French Fender Day. You're listening to The Outspoken Cyclist.
You're listening to the station that is your home for college radio in Cleveland, 88.7 FM, WJCU, University Heights.
We are back. You're listening to some of the short conversations I had with folks who traveled to Connecticut for Peter Wagel's 9th annual French Fender Day. Here we go. Hi, what's your name?
My name is Joe.
Joe what?
Joe Copera.
And where are you from?
I live up near Greenfield, Massachusetts. Just north of Amherst.
And you are here at French Fender Days. Is this your first one?
No, this is my second.
And what's so special about French Fender Days for you?
Oh my gosh, have you seen the bikes? They're beautiful.
I have. They are beautiful, and there are lots of them. Did you bring a bike?
I didn't this year, no.
So you didn't ride the ride?
No, I'm a little under the weather, so
I
just came to see that.
You look good.
Thank you.
So Peter says you're special. Why are you special?
I don't know what Peter has in mind.
What do you do?
I do a number for work. Oh, for work?
For whatever.
Yeah, I ride my bike around. I got back into cycling after kind of being a thin, tired roadie cyclist in my 20s. I got tired of being uncomfortable while cycling, so I stopped. And then someone was like, Joe, have you seen these French-style bikes with wide tires? And they're beautiful. And I was like, oh. And I got back into cycling. And now I kind of build up my own bikes and ride them around and just take a much more leisurely approach to riding my bicycle.
So how many bikes do you have? This is the N+1 question.
Oh, dear. Right now, 5, only 3 of which are built up.
And do you have a favorite?
Yes, it's one I'm currently having someone work on now. It's an old 79 Trek 720.
Ooh,
that's
nice.
Being converted to 650B.
Nice bike. As I remember, that was their touring bike.
Yes.
And so it originally had a triple on it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Good for you. What are you putting on it?
Oh, my gosh. I'm having a friend put put on a center pole bosses for center pole brakes.
Oh, you're having some framework done.
Yes, I'm having framework done. So I'm having center pole bosses put on for some nice Mayfac raids. I have some old Lefol French fenders to put on it.
Nice.
Getting a bunch of rack brazons and some dynamo lighting portholes on it.
So that bike, as I remember, was a taupe color originally.
Yes.
And I think it had a blue head panel, maybe?
Yeah, this one is more kind of a glittery robin's egg blue.
Okay.
And has the old copper Trek head badge on it.
So are you going to change the color?
I kind of have to, because in getting some brazing work done, a lot of the paint was stripped off.
Maybe you'd go back to the original.
I'm thinking about it. One of the reasons I'm here today is with an ulterior motive. I want inspiration of what color to paint this bike.
Any ideas?
Not yet. I'm definitely drifting toward that original robin's egg metal flake blue.
Nice.
Yeah.
So when do you think it'll be ready?
I just got a text from the frame builder I'm working with. It is done today.
And here you are.
And here I am not picking it up.
Not picking it up. Can you tell us who the frame builder is?
Yes. His name is Matt Gaspar. He's a brand new frame builder. He lives up near me.
Nice.
He doesn't do it full time. It's just on the side. So.
So when the bike is done, will you send me a picture of it?
Most definitely.
All right. Well, thank you for talking with me. Have fun at French Fender Day.
Thanks. You do
okay.
too.
Bye.
Bye.
Hi.
Hi, how are
What's
you?
What's your name?
I'm Emily O'Brien.
Hi, Emily O'Brien. I'm fine. Thank you for asking me. I'm starting to lose my voice a little bit, but we'll manage.
Oh, that's all right.
Is this your first French Fender Day?
Yeah, it is. We've had a schedule conflict with it every single year for ages, and this year we finally didn't, so we could make
what
it.
What do you do that schedules get conflicted?
Randonneuring events.
Oh, are you a randonneur?
Yes.
A randonneuse?
Yes, and my better half is currently the RBA for New England.
Oh.
So that...
There's been brevets in the past, is that it?
There,
every year?
Yeah, I think so. I think maybe it was our fall classic dirt ride that coincided most years. I think it was that. I can't remember exactly. But
so did you ride here today?
We drove down, but we ran a 62-mile populaire. New England Randonneurs did this morning.
Oh, I knew about that. It ended here, right?
Yeah.
Right. How many of you?
7, I think.
Nice.
We didn't actually organize it or get the word out too long in advance. Maybe next time we will.
Whatever.
Yeah, it was great.
Good.
Had a nice ride.
So what did you see that you've liked so far today? I should say, what didn't you see, but I won't.
There's ton of great bikes. I'm a sucker for old Raleighs.
And there happened to be several right behind me.
It just so happens that right. There are, yeah.
Yeah, they parked me right in front of the Raleigh group. Nice, yeah. Nice. What did you ride?
A Raleigh.
Surprise! What model?
It's a 1974 Raleigh Professional that I have set up as a fixed gear, and it's been my old faithful Brevet bike for many years.
Wait, you ride a fixie for Brevets?
Yes.
We have a friend who rode cross country on a fixie.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, it was insane. I guess what he did was he had the cogs on each side of the wheel and just flipped it.
Oh, yeah.
Depending on where they were. Yeah. I'll bet he wouldn't do that today. But anyway, nice. So besides the Raleighs, did you see anything that you like can't live without?
We've been eyeing the Velo Orange Neutrino Mini Velo frames. We were going to pre-order and we didn't, and we kind of... But it's possible that at some point a couple of those might find their way into our...
into
accidentally end up in our garage.
I know how that is. They kind of wander in and they don't leave, you know? Those kinds of things. That's nice. So, have you met anybody here today who you always wanted to meet?
I've run into a lot of people I've known for a long time, a lot of old friends, and met some new people.
Nice.
So, it's good.
Nice. So, how long have you been doing randonneuring?
I think my first year of doing it was 2006, but I had been doing long-distance stuff before that.
So, audience, she doesn't look old enough, but that's okay. We won't go there. That's cool. Wow, that's like 13 years. Nice.
Something like that. I think my first organized long-distance event was the Furnace Creek 508 in 2005, and I had done kind of 400K-ish distances by myself before that. So
you've kind of always been like this bike person.
Yeah.
You grew up on bicycles.
Yeah.
Where'd you grow up? Around
here? I grew up in D.C., and I biked to school.
WABA. Washington Area Bicycle Association.
Yeah, that's right.
Right.
Yeah, I wasn't really that connected with that stuff when I was in high school.
Yeah.
I think I was one of, two or three kids that biked to school, and I was the only one who really did it every day.
Right.
But what was kind of cool is a couple years ago, I was in D.C. for the National Bike Summit, and I went by my high school, which is downtown, and they've renovated, and now they have this whole big row of bike racks out front at school.
Were there bikes in them?
It was at night when I went by, so I wouldn't expect...
It would be cool to see it loaded
with
bikes,
wouldn't it?
Yeah.
But just the fact that they had them, when I did that, I locked it to the railing in the back of the building, and I was the only kid, so...
Interesting.
Now they have these nice big bike racks.
So what's your next big event coming up?
Let me think. I think we mostly have... I think we don't have a whole lot left randonneuring-wise for this year.
Did you go to PBP?
I didn't. I had a schedule conflict.
What do you do?
I make bike bags, and I teach music.
Wait, let's go back to the bike bags. What's the name of your bike bags?
Dill Pickle Gear.
Where have I seen you? I met you.
That's
I met you
possible.
At the Builder's Ball.
Oh, yeah. I think I talked to you once before.
Wow,
I think, I'm not sure.
Weird. I'm looking at it going, I know this person. Very cool. Yeah, Builder's Ball moved to next spring.
Yeah, it's in May now.
Yeah, yeah. He moved it from April to May just last week. It's like, really? I was hoping he'd be here today, but he's not.
Yeah, that's too bad.
Okay, so wait. So you build bike bags, and what else do you do?
I teach music.
You mean music or a specific instrument?
I play recorder, and I perform professionally. And there are a lot of summer music festivals that I teach at, and one of those coincides with PBP.
Oh. Well, interestingly enough, our niece plays recorder.
Good.
And I guess she's very good. She's in Binghamton.
Okay.
Yeah.
I bet I... Is her teacher Barbara Kaufman by any chance?
I don't know, but if my brother-in-law is listening to this show, he will let me know.
I think my guess is probably. I might have that right in that general region.
Yeah, but that mid-New York region. Yeah.
I might be getting that wrong, but.
Well, tell my listeners how they can find out about your bags.
So that's www.dillpicklegear.com, and I make kind of geared towards long distance, randonneuring and touring, and I have handlebar bags, saddlebags, panniers, all different sizes. You can customize colors and options and all that stuff.
There you go, folks. Wow, very cool. Well, thank you for talking with me.
Oh, well, thanks for being here.
It was my pleasure.
It's
Have
a fun day. You too.
Okay.
Oui. Je suis prepared.
Hi, Jamie.
Hi, Diane.
How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I am good. It's good to see you.
Likewise.
Yeah, last time I saw you, I think it was at a maybe Builder's Ball?
I think you're right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's new?
Nothing much.
No?
Plugging along. You?
Yeah. French Fender Days. Are you happy to be here?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Did you bring a bike?
Yeah.
That's good. What'd you bring?
They're just like 650B conversion bikes that I did. They're not frames that I built.
Huh. They're
like derelict race bikes that you reconfigure into a rando bike.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're right there.
Oh, yes, so they are. So they are. See, they're right in front of me, but the people listening can't hear them. I mean, can't see them. They can hear them.
Sad for them.
It is sad for
them.
Yeah,
why aren't they here?
I don't know. Maybe Peter didn't invite them.
Everyone's invited.
Well, that's true. That's true. French Fender Day is open to everybody. So you didn't ride today.
I did not.
Me neither. But we ate good food.
The best.
Yeah.
We drank some wine, too.
We drank some
I
wine.
Know I did.
Yeah, right. Of course you did. What's special about French Fender Day? Why do you come?
Oh, the people. Yeah, it's a little cliche to say this, but it's not about the bikes.
Very good. You're the only one who's used that. That's good. No, it's true. Is there anybody here today you haven't seen in a long time?
That's a good question. I can't say that. I mean, a long time being more than a year. A lot of these people I may have only seen a year ago here, but it's a small community. You know, the vintage bike and the Keeper of the Flame world, we're kind of tight-knit, so we stay in touch.
You know, it's interesting. I haven't heard anybody use that term, Keeper of the Flame, in a long time. For those people who don't know what that means, give us your interpretation of that.
I guess I go with Dale Brown is the owner of the Classic Rendezvous email list server,
right.
The Classic Rendezvous list server. Website. He has the CR website and the CR list server. And he kind of defines it as frame builders who build bikes in a classic style, sympathetic to the traditional bikes, raised construction, lugged and fillet brazed construction, steel bikes. So, it's kind of the vintage lightweight world and the Keeper of the Flame world are kind of joined at the hip.
Right.
You know,
okay.
So the Dale promoted the Cirque du Cyclisme, and Wayne Bingham promoted the Cirque du Cyclisme for many years. And it was a celebration of traditional lightweight bikes and bikes built in that style. So that was, I think that's where the name Keeper of the Flame was coined within that
bike world
milieu,
it.
Yeah.
Right, yeah. And a lot of the bikes here certainly meet those criteria.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're either vintage bikes or modern bikes that are built in a sympathetic way.
Which is an interesting point, too, that not everything here is really, really old.
No.
In fact, there are some fresh, young frame builders.
Some brand new bikes,
right,
yeah.
The bikes are brand new.
Yeah, Johnny Coast, Brian Chapman, these guys are hitting it out of the park.
Right, and they're young builders.
Yeah.
Do you see anything today that you haven't seen before that is new to you?
I can't say that I do. Like, nothing is coming to mind.
Okay.
I've been around it a while, so.
Yeah, no kidding, me too. Yeah.
I like tiny details or funny little things that, like, oh, that's neat, you know?
Right,
yeah.
Right. All right. Well, anything coming up for you new in the future? Have you got anything planned, like any new bikes to build?
I've been fooling around with a method of brazing, ring brazing tubes, where the traditional method of brazing a lug is you heat it up and you feed the brazing rod from the outside in.
Right.
But this is a way where you put a preform. You put the brazing material inside the frame, heat it up, and it comes out.
Wow.
It's nothing new. This is nothing new, but it's not a
it's
common.
New to me.
Yeah, it works really well. I've been experimenting with it.
And you use silver,
brass.
brass. Oh, wait, he's got something to show us. Have a look. Wow.
So you wind up a piece of brass inside this tube. Look inside there.
Yeah, I see it.
Look in there. You wind up a piece of brass around a mandrel, and you put it inside there.
And then you heat it up.
You heat it up,
outside?
And it wicks its way out.
It's Did you like, show this to Brian?
Brian Chapman?
No, Brian, my husband.
No.
You need to show it to him.
He'll will do that.
Just what he needs is a new style. So next year, maybe you'll have a bike made like that?
Maybe.
That would
Hopefully.
Be cool.
Yeah.
All right.
We'll see.
Thanks for talking with me, Jamie.
Thanks, Diane.
It's good to see you.
Likewise.
All right. Bye. We're going to take another quick break and come back to hear the rest of this week's interviews with guests at Peter Weigel's French Fender Day, plus Peter's wrap-up. You're listening to The Outspoken Cyclist.
WJCU, University Heights, from the campus of John Carroll University.
I'm Diane Jenks, and you are listening to The Outspoken Cyclist. This week, I'm offering up the first batch of the 13 interviews I recorded at Peter Weigel's annual French Fender Day on October 12th. So it's back to the microphone. Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good.
Tell my listeners your name.
Shukri Sindhi.
And tell my listeners what you do.
In life, I work as an architect.
You are an architect. I think that's so cool.
I am told, though, that I shouldn't say I am an architect because I am not licensed. So really, I could get in trouble.
I understand. But when you do an architectural piece, you do have somebody who signs it. So
sure,
you
yeah.
work as an architect.
I work as
I
an architect.
I understand how that works.
Yeah, yeah.
Stupid art world, right? What kind of architecture do you particularly like?
I really enjoy bringing back old buildings to their original looks. Historic buildings.
That is cool.
It's my favorite.
That is cool.
Sometimes when I try to explain to people what I do exactly, because architecture is so varied, most people think you design new buildings and that's the cool part. And we do some of that. But I try to explain to people that I am a doctor, but for buildings.
I love it.
Because we fix old buildings. The people come to us that have issues with pre-war buildings, and we take a scalpel to the walls and roofs and cut them up and try to find the problem first and then find a solution to
the
problem.
So watching Notre Dame burn probably really upset you.
Really, yeah.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah,
that
was a relic.
That was a relic, and I don't know how they're going to rebuild it, but that's another
story.
So
down the street from my office is the Serbian Orthodox Church, which a few years ago, maybe 2 years ago, also burned, same way as Notre Dame. The whole roof burned down, and it's still closed. They haven't been able to open it back
up.
That's sad. Yeah.
So one of the cool stories about you is you rode here to French Fender Day in the dark last night.
I did. Not a very long way, but dark and extremely windy. Extremely
windy.
Oh,
I didn't realize it was real windy.
It was really windy.
Yeah, so you took the train?
We took the train from Grand Central to New Haven. And from New Haven, I didn't know this, but I have a friend who lives, who has a house outside of New Haven, who told me that there's the Shoreline East, which is a local Connecticut train. She said, take that and it will get you closer to Old Lyme. And it brought us to Old Saybrook, which is just across the river near the ocean. So from there, it's about 10 miles.
In the dark. Because I know you guys got here late last night.
We did. Yeah. I have very bright lights, but my partner didn't have very good lights.
She was scared.
She was getting, she was really
she was
scared.
Nervous.
Yeah.
What were you riding? What did you ride?
I rode a bicycle that I put together in a Frankenstein way.
Nice.
A Rally 20 that I cut up and put back together as a touring bike. So I came fully loaded.
So in addition to your architectural work, you do some framework.
Yes, absolutely.
I see.
When I speak to people about my bicycles or bicycles in general, in fact, last night when we got out of the train station in Old Saybrook, a family came over, a husband and a wife and their daughter, and they spoke to us because we're loaded and, you know, it's getting dark, so they thought it was interesting. And I was speaking to the man and telling him about my gear inches, and because he knew a little bit. I didn't know what he did. And he very quickly said, "Are you an engineer?"
Which is
it's
what
obvious once we
everybody
start
thinks, yes, right, that we're all engineers. So how did you first come to know about French Fender Day?
Peter, when I got really interested in bikes, I would go on Flickr and just dream about his bikes and study them. I didn't know Peter, I just knew his photographs on Flickr, and I would study them because I wanted to build my own touring bike. And the first one I built, I basically based it on Peter's designs. I didn't know anything about French bicycles. I knew about Peter's French bicycles. And then he came down to, I forget, there was a bicycle event that went on for a couple of years in Brooklyn, and they stopped doing it. It was a
local
bicycle show. Yeah. I met him there. I went to meet him, and right off the bat, he was really busy showing his bicycles, but he gave me about 40 minutes of his time.
He is so generous.
And we became friends from that point. And he invited me to French Fender Day. So I've been coming about 6 years.
Oh, that's a long time. I didn't realize that. Anything different this year from the past years, do you think?
I've noticed that a lot of the really beautiful vintage bikes reappear every year. So people have been bringing newer and newer specimens. So I feel like I see more recent vintage.
So, I see younger bikes.
Younger bikes, yeah.
We have younger builders.
That
some
too,
of the younger
absolutely,
builders, which
yeah.
is nice to see.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for talking with me. This is
thank
awesome.
Thank you. This is a pleasure.
Take care.
Thank you, Dan.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
What's your name?
Peter Waite.
Peter Waite, and you're an artist.
I am.
And yet you're all dressed up like a cyclist.
I'm a cyclist, too.
Aha, aha.
Perhaps more of a cyclist than an artist sometimes.
I don't know. I've seen some of your work. So tell me how you know Peter.
Oh, from the ancient days of early mountain biking in the 80s. A teammate of mine got a Weigel mountain bike. I went to the dark mischief of Wicked Fat Chance, but we all hung together and we were in races and did cross races. I was also racing road with friends that also owned a Weigel road bike, but I got a local frame builder also in Connecticut, Paul LeMaire, so I was riding a Paul LeMaire.
Interesting. So Fat Chance, that would be Mr. Chris Chance.
Well, out of Somerville,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah, we used to sell his frames many, many, many years ago.
Yeah, there was a whole crew of the Ron Andrews was racing for them, and then
right.
there was Mike Papa Constantine and Bob Folk, and it was a fun crew.
So this clearly is not your first French Fender Day.
It is not. I've been to a lot of them.
So the question I have for you, more importantly, is the work you're doing now, which is I've seen some of your, what you're calling fast sketches, but they're magnificent paintings. Tell us what you're painting.
Well, I work on a very large scale in the past, sometimes 8 by 10 feet, but in panels. So they stack like a deck of cards, and then they're assembled on the wall like tiles. So my motto is it isn't art unless it fits in the back of your car.
Okay.
So like a 10 by 12 foot painting can actually stack consistently. The panels are all 2 by 4 feet. So they stack like cards and they go right up onto the wall. But now I'm working on a really small scale for my 11 by 14. So there's uniformity to the size of the series. And I started working with schools, interiors. I paint architectural sites and locations, real visits to real places. And I've done this since I first met Peter in 85 or whenever. This is what I've been doing. But I've been going to schools, interiors, no people, just interiors, empty desks, empty hallways, because schools are quite the topic now for all the tragic events and also the discussion on education and all of that, plus my own problems with schools as a kid. And I didn't mind school, but I was dyslexic and had learning disorder, and so it was a daunting place for me. So it's a personal and social memory. And now I'm also working, expanding not schools, but workplaces. And it could be welding shops or machine shops. And then I thought, well, why not do some of my friends' frame builders? So I've been doing a series. I painted a couple of paintings from Richard Sachs's shop and Peter Weigel's. So that's part of it.
And
also
watch out.
Museums, too. I've been doing museum studies.
Because let me tell you, frame builders, listen to this show, and you may be getting phone calls because the paintings are beautiful. Is there a place people can go to see some of the work you're doing?
Yeah, I mean, I have a website, peterwaite.com. I try, like everybody, to keep it updated. I'm going to redo it. But I have Instagram, which is peter.waite, W-A-I-T-E.
Yeah, we'll put it up on our Facebook
page. And they're
page.
Cheesy little snapshots, but everything is current that I do, so you can.
The work is beautiful.
Oh, thanks.
It's beautiful. It's acrylic, just for those who so many artists are also in the cycling world. Did you notice that?
I always thought it was engineers.
It's
aerospace.
Both.
Most of my friends that I've cycled with and raced with were all engineers.
Yeah, I married the one.
I think they're trying to get away from slide rule, you know, geek, you know. They have a lot
so
of frustrations.
Sure. I think they figured out how to do both.
I haven't met too many artists, but it's a great demographic across-the-board sport in a way. You get a lot of different vocations in it. It makes it really interesting.
I agree.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for talking
with
me.
Right on. Well, thanks for your good work.
All right. Take care. That's the last of this week's interviews with guests at French Fender Day from October 12th, last Saturday. Now here is my brief chat with Peter Weigel about his thoughts on the weekend. What I was just going to ask you to do was sort of wrap it up this year. Tell me what your impressions of the day were and how you think it went.
I think it was one of the best ones we've had. The vibe was really good. You know, I had a lot of emails afterwards and a lot of phone calls, people just saying, you know, how wonderful they thought it was. And it's so interesting. The event originally was all about the bicycles. People wanted to see, you know, the vintage French bikes and share what they knew about them and all that. And as the years have gone by, it's really become more about the people and the friendships and the bonds. And, you know, a couple of times I would walk up from the house with something, I would look out at the, you know, the grounds, and nobody was standing around without something to do. I mean, everybody was engaged in conversation. It just made me so happy to see people, you know, having a really good time with this.
I don't think anybody didn't have a good time. I did 13 short interviews.
Yes.
And
mm-hmm.
they are coming out really, really well. You get this kind of buzzing in the background, which is fun. And
sure.
Everybody I talked to was just so thrilled to be there. That's so thrilled.
Yeah. The enthusiasm is just amazing.
It is. It is.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
What's going to happen? Brian and I were talking about this. What's going to happen when this event just gets too big for you? Your place is big, but it isn't endless.
Right. Well, first of all, I don't know how many more years I can actually do it. It takes a tremendous amount of work to pull it off. And I have a reluctance. All the people that know me for a long time, they know the reluctance that I have, all the doubt that I have in my mind about, you know, making it happen again. And I just have these fantastic supporters that kind of, you know, keep nudging me along. They kickstart basically the event each year. Without them booting me along, I don't know. I have this self-doubt sometimes about the whole thing, and then I see it unfold before me. It's like performing art the day that it happens. People just start showing up. I mean, this year, all I did was put something on Instagram. I didn't call people. The original events, I used to call people and kind of beg them to bring their bikes because I thought if we're going to do an event, it's no good if people don't show up and if they don't have really stellar bikes. And now I don't worry for that. I basically, you know, I just say, people should start arriving somewhere around 8:30. All of a sudden, they do. They're just pulling in left and right, and my volunteer is parking the cars down there or helping them park, and the day just unfolds. And as you saw, other than that one announcement for me about, you know, just welcoming everybody and then letting them know about what time the ride is going to go off and food will be served after that, there's no, you know, there's no judging, there's no prizes, there's no drama about that. Everybody knows how to behave, and it's just a really respectful, enthusiastic group of people that are here. It's really quite special.
It is special, and we were really, really pleased to be able to be there this year. Have you chosen a date for 2020, or are you waiting?
Oh, I still have my reluctance for 2020.
Okay.
My guys have to book. No, it's always been the Saturday of Columbus Day weekend, and that weekend floats date, you know, the actual date floats, but it's, they still call it Columbus Day weekend, and it's always Saturday. And so if I do it next year, it'll most likely be that. And as far as, I mean, a couple of years ago, somebody said, boy, it's starting to grow. You need more space, or you need to move it someplace. To me, the thing that makes this work is that the shop is right there. You know, it's not a commercial day for me. I'm not trying to sell bikes or anything like that. But people can come in. They can see the, you know, the ephemera on the walls. They can see the, you know, the vintage pieces. They can see the machinery that's used. That whole part of the shop is open to everybody. They just walk through it. And without that, if I was just in some sterile parking lot someplace and we set up some, you know, 10 by 10 pop-up tents and had vintage bikes there, it wouldn't be the same. And I would have no interest in that whatsoever.
I would totally agree with you that part of the entire weekend was the ambiance of the space, the trees, the workshop is amazing. I felt really privileged to be there. And I know you and Brian were like head to head looking at all this stuff that's way over my head, but
We nerded out.
You did nerd out. That's okay. That was allowed. But I have to say that I met some amazing people. What's interesting to me is after 9 years of doing this podcast, I actually talked to people I talked to in the past and didn't realize who they were until they said their names into the mic. And I'm like, oh, that's what you look like. Oh, that's who you are. So that was kind of fun.
What's interesting is those photos I sent you, I went back on Flickr and looked at the first event before we actually called it French Fender Day. And that was 2010. So you've been doing your podcast about as long as I've been doing French Fender Day. They're almost parallel in that regard.
It's true. You're right. Well, Peter, take care of your cold. I'm sorry you got sick, but there were a lot of people there. I wouldn't be surprised if somebody wasn't sick while they were there. And thank you so much for putting on such an amazing event.
You're welcome, Diane.
All right. We'll talk again. Go drink some tea.
Bye.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye. So that's our show for this week. I hope you enjoyed the wide variety of conversations from French Fender Day. Next week, we'll air the remainder of these interviews, as well as have a wrap-up with my Brian about his thoughts on French Fender Day and, as he likes to say, his ideas about proper bikes. We'll also speak with Sam Wood, who's the founder of Odyssey Bicycle Tours. He just announced his new Allies Normandy to the Rhine tour coming up next June. So remember that you can always join the conversation on the Outspoken Cyclist Facebook page. You can send us a tweet at Outspoken Cyclist without the E, or leave a comment on our blog, outspokencyclist.com. Won't you also write a short review of the show on your favorite podcast app, or just give it a rating? And we hope it's a good one. Also, tonight we're launching our annual Listener Sponsor Ask. If you love the show and think it adds value to your bicycling life, please consider making a donation at OutspokenCyclist.com. Any amount would be most appreciated. Thanks for listening. I hope you have a great week. Stay safe out there. And remember, if you have a chance, go for a ride. Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us today on The Outspoken Cyclist with Diane Jenks. We hope you enjoyed this week's show and welcome your comments and thoughts on Twitter and Facebook. Visit OutspokenCyclist.com to hear this and all past shows. We'll be back next week with more great conversation and news from the world of cycling. Remember, you can subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or Stitcher and never miss an episode. The Outspoken Cyclist is a copyrighted production of DBL Promotions with the assistance of WJCU-FM Cleveland, a service of John Carroll University. Thanks again for listening, ride safely, and we'll see you next week.